I'm amazed that when I turn on the radio, I hear some of these Christian songs, and they sing, Lord, praise your name on high, and Lord God, your name is to be glorified, and we hear these, and not once is Yahweh's name used in these songs, and yet they're talking. I think in a good attitude and a right heart to try to glorify Yahweh. But they're taking some traditions that have been brought over by man, and even in the translations, I know I have to read past Lord and God and mine. But, you know, if they knew it was pagan, maybe they'd stop. So we must let them know, Lord God is pagan. 1 Corinthians 8:5, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about there are lords many and gods many. Exodus 23:13, we can go back and see what Yahweh says about calling upon different deities and using their names. Exodus 23:13 says, Now concerning everything which I have said to you, be on your guard. Do not mention the name of other deities, nor let them be heard from your mouth. Especially in worship. I mean, it's worship that Yahweh is really talking about. And yet people are using these type of names, Lord and God, in worship. And we'll see that their origin is questionable. Psalms 16 and verse 4. Let's turn over there. Psalms 16 and verse 4. It says, The sorrows of those who have bartered for another mighty one will be multiplied. I shall pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor shall I take their names upon my lips. He's speaking about not taking up deities' names that are not Yahweh's name. And of course, we know Yahweh's name is his name. He says that is his name. So we know what his name is, and certainly we have to look at the original wording and come to that conclusion, but many scholars do recognize that today. In fact, I was looking in Encyclopedia, the 11th edition, a very old encyclopedia. It has Yahweh's name in it. It also has some other information, which I'll point out, but Deuteronomy 12, let's go back there. Just to know for sure that Yahweh does not want to be called with pagan names. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 3. You know, given the instructions, they were to go in, and it says, And you shall tear down their altars, and smash their sacred pillars, and burn their ashram with fire, and you shall cut down the engraved images of their the mighty ones, their deities, and obliterate their name from that place. Because Yahweh doesn't want it used for him, for worship to him. Well, you know, like Scripture says, there are lords many, there are gods many. Even Satan is called the god of this world. And he certainly has done quite a job in deceiving people and even us. I mean, I was one of those willing to sing, you know, Lord God, mighty be your name, and all this, and I look back on it, and I can't believe it. But yet we have this knowledge, we have this understanding, and we're gaining wisdom, and we see how it is out there, and people are coming out, but it's a slow process. It takes time to change. But we have to speak up like Elijah. 1 Kings 18. First Kings 18, where we find Elijah speaking, and he says, in 18, verse 21, he says, Elijah came near to all the people and said, How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, of course a pagan deity, he says, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. First Kings chapter 18, 21. Just read it again. Elijah came near to all the people and said, How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. And sometimes we get silence if we speak out with such boldness. But yet we're told, speak the truth. Tell the people. Otherwise, their blood will be on our hands, won't it? Isn't that what Ezekiel was told? Isn't that what we are basically told? Well, there are, even in the circles of Judaism and Messianic songs, there are songs that praise Adonai. You know, Adonai, lift up his name on high. And yet, Adonai isn't Yahweh's name. And so you don't find Yahweh's name in those songs. But there are some songs that are coming out more and more with Yahweh's name in it. And I think people are starting to understand. And certainly the scholars are using Yahweh's name more frequently in their commentaries. I mean, you can take some and it's literally throughout on every page. But Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary for Adonai says it basically, it is a substitute, quote, a substitute pronunciation of the Tetragrammaton, literally my Lord, spoken in place of the ineffable name of Yahweh, unquote. And of course we know that the Jews had this belief of, you know, Yahweh's name is too holy to pronounce. And there are admonitions in Scripture says if you blaspheme the name of Yahweh, it's a death sentence. And so I think they use those Scriptures to come to the conclusion, you know, hey, we better not even let people know Yahweh's name. But it's wrong. We're not given that authority. No one is given that authority. And it basically breaks the third commandment, you know. But we have other indications. The Scripture Research Association, in their book called God, Deity of the Nations, says, quote, well, actually, this is written by Dr. Miller Burroughs, who used to be the head of the Department of Near East Eastern Languages at Yale University. But in 1948, Dr. Miller was quoted as saying, quote, the addition of the so-called vowel points was a hoax on mankind. The substitution of the word Adonai, Lord, in place of the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, was done because the Jews in their apostasy put to disuse the holy name. They substituted it for the pagan name Adonai, which Yahweh repudiated. See Hosea 2:16. The Christians follow suit and substitute the equivalent of the same pagan name the Jews used, the Lord. Remember, Lord is Lord no matter what kind of letters you use in writing it. In both the small or capital letters, the sound is the same. The Lord, Adonai, is a pagan substitute, robbing Yahweh of his glory and praise. Unquote. Let's go to Hosea 2:16, since he mentioned that. Or I see it here. Let's see what it says. I mean, this was quite some time ago that this was mentioned. And yet we hear it from the scholars. Yahweh is his name. And they know what happened. They know how it got changed, most of them. Hosea 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up their way with thorns, I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. Oh, I was reading 6. Hosea 2:16. That sort of made sense too. Hosea 16, maybe that was meant to be. Because, you know, Yahweh has his way of presenting things. But in verse 16 it says of Hosea 2, it will come about in that day, declares Yahweh, that you will call me Ishi and will no longer call me Baali. Well, we'll touch on that because I do have that mention here written down. I wanted to touch on Lord because it talks about Adonai and kind of the equality with Lord. It's interesting because Lord is equated with Baal. Strong's, Hebrews number 11, 68, the Hebrew word Baal, it's pronounced Baal, some say Baal. But Strong shows that this Baal equals Lord. The basically, Baal equals Lord. Well, in Hosea 2 and 16 through 17, it does say, "And it shall be on that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me husband, shall call me no more Baali," or Baali. That means my Baal, my Lord, basically. And you have people doing that today. It goes on here in Hosea 2, 16 through 17, "For I will take away their names of the Baals out of their mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." That day is coming. And I think that day is coming more for us right now than it is for anyone, because we're taking those false names out of our worship to Yahweh. Now, we may speak openly about these, but we don't call Yahweh Baal. We don't call Him Lord. We don't call Him God. And we'll touch upon even the word God, where it comes from. Wesley's commentary on this particular on these particular verses, Hosea 2, 16 through 17, says, quote, "Baali, that is, my Lord, by their names perishing with them," unquote. Jeremiah 23, 27 says, "Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." Interesting. Does that happen today? Have people forgotten Yahweh's name? What about those songs out there that are proclaiming that they're praising His name, and yet the name's not there? They have forgotten it. And it's with hope that what we're doing here reaches out and helps people to understand. I mean, it stemmed from Missouri how I came to understand Yahweh's name. I mean, it was from this location that I became aware. And it took a while. It wasn't overnight. But Strong says, Lord or Baal was the supreme, quote, supreme male divinity of the Phoenicians or Canaanites, unquote. Do we want to worship the supreme male divinity of the Phoenicians or Canaanites?
No.
I mean, the history books are there to learn from, and they're for us to learn. And my dad knows how I believe, because I've told him. I went to the library, pulled down a dictionary, showed him Baal, and showed how Lord is equated with that. And he looked at the front. "Where'd you get that? What is that?" Like I was blowing smoke or something. I wasn't really telling the truth, but I was telling what scholars already know. Well, he sent me a cartoon, and I didn't quite understand the gist of it, but this person was laying his hand on a Bible and swearing to Beelzebub, which is blasphemous in itself. But Beelzebub, I found in Easton's Bible Dictionary, says it's the Greek form Beelzebub, the name given to Satan, and found only in the New Testament, Matthew 10:25, 12:24, 27, and Mark 3:22. It is probably the same Beelzebub, the deity of Ekron, meaning the Lord of the flies, or as others think, the Lord of dung, or the dung god, unquote. Well, I went ahead and sent him this quote because I'm sure he would remember. In fact, I'm thinking that's why he sent me the cartoons, because Baal was there. But Baal is part of this word, and this word means basically Lord of the flies, and this is a name given to Satan. You know, not only is he called a god, he's called Lord of flies. I don't think we should be calling Yahweh some of these things that we find are very questionable items to be giving unto Him in worship, especially. Now, speaking of time and you know, how our thinking is. There is an evolutionist that Carrie and I were watching, and he is a creationist now. He was a former evolutionist. But he's going over some of the animals, like the giraffe. Giraffe has this long neck, and he's got a huge heart. But when the giraffe lowers his head, there's like a stop valve and a reverse that happens for the blood flow. So the blood doesn't go down to his head and explodes his head. Blows his brains out is what the scientists said would happen. He showed some other animals like the woodpecker and how the eyes are closing so that each time the woodpecker hits the wood, you know, doesn't. And now they thought originally that it was just to keep the sawdust out of his eyes, but it's actually to keep the eyes from popping out because the pressure is so intense that the eyes would just pop out. But every time those eyes shut, and of course, you know, he was explaining it, and he's saying, well, like with the giraffe, that, you know, the first giraffe, as evolutionists would explain it, the first giraffe that went down to drink some water blew his brains out, but before they completely blew out, he thought, you know, this isn't very good. I better figure a way out to resolve this. And then, of course, the next giraffe. But it doesn't make any sense. But he said specifically that it took him 5 years from the time that somebody told him, have you ever thought about a divine, you know, creator that made these things? And he thought about it, and he did some research, and he had researched for about 5 years. Finally, he decided, yep, there is no way that evolution is correct. He just never really studied it out. And I think a lot of people just take the Lord and God as, well, it's in my Bible. It's in the Bible. It's a given. Well, I think we have to do like this, and we have that are here. We've done like this evolutionist, former evolutionist, studied it out and found, hey, we were wrong. And there's a lot of people out there that are wrong in thinking that the Lord and God are the Heavenly Father's name. They're not. He said, it mentioned something else in his Encyclopedia Britannica, the 11th edition, which is an old edition. But it says of God, quote, the common Teutonic word for a personal object of religious worship applied to all those superhuman beings of the heathen mythologies. The word God, on the conversion of the Teutonic peoples, were converted to Christianity, was adopted as the same name of the one supreme being. Unquote. The Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, Volume 6, page 302, says, quote, after the conversion of the Teutons to Christianity, the word God came to be applied to the Christian deity. Unquote. I looked up the word Teuton in the dictionary, and it gives the definition as a member of the ancient, probably Germanic or Celtic people. It says also a member of the people speaking language of the Germanic branch of the Indo-European language family, especially German. But the pagan origins of the name God, and I will say it's a name, go back even further than that. Let's go to Genesis 30. Genesis 30, and starting there in verse 9, we find Jacob, Leah, Rachel, of course, with Laban, and they, you know the story, Jacob married Leah and Rachel, and they had children. Well, interestingly enough, Rachel, excuse me, getting the right page here. Rachel said, well, in verse 31 of chapter 29, it says, now Yahweh saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son. So Leah here bore a son and named him Reuben. For she said, because Yahweh has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. So, I mean, there was some worship of Yahweh there, it seemed like. You know, back at that time, there were some pagan influences, and Leah and Rachel grew up with those pagan influences with Laban. We'll take a closer look at that. But I just wanted to point out that, well, even here in verse 30, or chapter 30 and verse 1, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or else I'll die. Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of Elohim, speaking of Yahweh, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? She said, here is my maid, Bilhah. Go in to her, that she may bear on my knees, that though through her I too may have children. So she gave her maid as a wife, and Jacob went to her. Well, she conceived and bore a son, Jacob a son. Verse 6, then Rachel said, Elohim has vindicated me. I mean, she recognized, she gave credit to Elohim, to Yahweh, and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, she named him Dan. But you go down here, and we'll go ahead and read, starting here in verse 9. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, how fortunate! So she named him God. This is basically what it says here. It's the Hebrew letters Gimel Dalet, and it's pronounced God, though it's written here as Gad. But God was a Canaanite deity of luck and fortune. And if you would turn over to 31 and verse 9 of the same book, it says, when Laban had gone to share his flock, then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. So these, verse 19. Genesis 31, verse 19. It says, when Laban had gone to share his flock, then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. So Rachel and Leah grew up knowing about these pagan deities, having their pagan names, being influenced by them. You know, Jacob comes along, whether they knew it or not, I mean, if they didn't know it, he would have told them about Yahweh and his deity, his mighty one. And, you know, there's syncretism going on there. I mean, here on one turn, they were giving thanks to one of their deities, and another turn, they're giving thanks to Yahweh. So there's a mix going on there. And today we even get that. And I was online the other day and looking up something. And the person had put Jesus/Yahshua. And that is syncretism. That is mixing. That's not being hot or cold. That's being lukewarm. And Yahweh warns us about being lukewarm. What does he say in Revelation? So because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. There's either it's right or wrong. It's not two names that are given in Acts 4:12. It doesn't say two names. It says one name. So, I mean, it's kind of disturbing to see that. But it's good in a sense because there's... It's like the evolutionists that took 5 years to finally get it. I mean, he admitted it. It took him 5 years. I think some people are gradually coming out, and they're kind of mixing it as they're coming out, and then eventually they do away with the old and bring in the new. But this name of God goes all the way back to Genesis. And, you know, was evidently revitalized or brought up or had come through the ages into the Germanic or Celtic people. Indo-European language family. Isaiah 65 and verse 11. Isaiah 65, verse 11. I'm going to read through three different versions of this. First, the King James. But ye are they that forsake Yahweh. I'm going to restore Yahweh in each one of these because we know clearly that the Lord has stamped over Yahweh's name. And it's just wrong. But it says, but ye are they that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Now that's King James. The New American Standard reads, but you who forsake Yahweh, who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune, and who fill cups with mixed wine for destiny. That's the NASU of Isaiah 65:11. But that word troop, using the King James, the word fortune in the NASU, that word is that gimel dalet, the gad, that's written gad in some translations like this next one I'll read, but is actually pronounced God according to Strong's and other sources. It says, in this more of a literal translation called the Scriptures, but you are those who forsake Yahweh, and Yahweh there is written in the actual Hebrew, the Tetragrammaton, the four letters as it's scientifically called, as the scholars call it, but says, who forget my set-apart mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who fill a drink offering for many. But that Gad there should be pronounced God. In fact, C.J. Coster, in a book called Come Out of Her, My People, says, quote, all commentators agree that Gad, pronounced God, see Strong's 1409, is a pagan deity, and so is many. Gad is usually interpreted as the well-known Syrian or Canaanite deity of good luck or fortune. Remember what we read about Leah's, how she named the child Fortune? Of course, Laban had all those deities around. One of them was God. And many, the deity of destiny, this Gad is written in the Hebrew as Gimel Dalet, GD, but the Masoretes afterwards vowel-pointed it, adding an A to give us Gad. However, we find other references in Scripture to a similar deity, if not the same one, also spelled GD, in the Hebrew text, but this time vowel-pointed to read God. Joshua 11:17, 12:7, and 13:5, where we find Baal God, according to the vowel-pointing Masoretic Hebrew text. This Baal God was obviously a place named after their deity, unquote. Let's go there, Joshua 11:17. Maybe your translation has it a little different. Maybe it says Lord God in your translation. Maybe it says Baal God. Says Joshua 11:17, 12:7, and also 13:5. Mine here says Baal Gad. From Mount Halak that rises towards here, even as far as Baal God in the Valley of Lebanon and the foot mountain Hermon, and he captured all the kings and struck them down and put them to death. Well, Baal God, Lord God, either way, its origin is pagan. And, you know, we really need to consider these things, and this message is going to go out. Hopefully it will be heard by someone that hasn't really considered these things before. It's like the evolutionist, the former evolutionist, who never really thought or considered or looked into, never really studied whether evolution, you know, Darwin's theory was true or not. You know, we've gotten these Bibles handed to us by parents, by others, And most of them have these names in them which cover up Yahweh's name. And it shouldn't be. But hopefully, with just like the evolutionists, people will come to study, to consider these things, and actually change their way of thinking. Though it may take a year or two, or even 5 years, as long as it happens. Because Yahweh wants true worship. He wants those that will worship in, what does it say? It says truth and in spirit. Exodus 3 in verse 15. What did Yahweh tell Moses to tell the people? And what are we to tell the people? Skipping down here, it says, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial name to all generations. May Yahweh bless you.